I have a very specific message this morning, an assignment from the Lord, and I want to, for historical content, I want to mention a couple of things. This is the year 2020. This is the year that the Lord has given us a blueprint, a very specific blueprint, not just for us here in Tulsa at the Prayer Center, but worldwide if you have linked arms with this vision. And if you have the vision in you for pressing into a real worldwide revival, the kind that Jesus spoke of, this gospel shall be preached into every nation. Well, this gospel, the one he preached, is one of not only words, but power. So we have a very specific assignment. If there was ever a group accountable for knowing what our mission is, and the mission overall is revival, that kind. And then accountable to know what to do, at least in this year, our part. Lord, what would you have me do? That was the title of the message I did Sunday night. Well, we know what to do. I mean, he's given us this blueprint for 2020. Just in case you don't know what that is, it's a series of prophecies that came through. Why in the world God chose Pastor Bronk Flint? No, I'm teasing. We love Pastor Bronk. But he is. He's told me himself, he says, I don't know why. But there's 10 prophecies that came through him. Now there's been some subsequent ones, but we're focusing on those 10. Because in there we have precise, detailed instructions what to do. And if you boiled it all down, it's come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with me to complete the purging process. And in language that we use here at the Prayer Center, that's talking about removing any handles that remain that the enemy could use to destroy the revival or bring it to an end, you know. So, with that in mind, now, here's the message for today. And this past week, the Lord was dealing with me personally to go back to two classic messages by an up-and-coming young evangelist you may have heard of. What was his name? Dave Roberson. Yeah, Dave Roberson is his name. And It's a small two-tape series that he did many years ago called Distinguishing God's Voice. Now, I particularly focused on the second message. It's a two messages. And I particularly then zeroed in on the second part because he literally tells you how you can locate the voice where God speaks within you. And I focused on that part, and you know what? It worked. It absolutely worked. Now, it took a while to make it work. And there's a thing called persistence and endurance. You might have noticed there's a prophecy out in the foyer. Endurance is the key, but it did work. Now, see, I'm saying that, and again, I have to follow him, even though I'm a little concerned. Y'all pray for Alan that I don't encroach too far into Alan's time today, because I have to get this. This has to be delivered in entirety in one message. So, but I believe we'll do it. Now, the reason this is so important, he had me start going back and listening to that again. Of all the series, I'm going, Lord, Distinguishing God's Voice, if there's one series that I know of Dave's, it's Distinguishing God's Voice. And I mean, that's one I did at the Ugly Building, and I did it for days, weeks, months, until I did begin to distinguish his voice. And many of you have read the face-to-face documents that came out of that and so forth. And but he said, go back and hear it again. And when I finished, he said, go back and hear it again. The fourth time through, I don't know how he, you know, how thick is the bone right here for him to get through to me? You know, it's message one. See, I focused on part two, the second message in that. But really, I finally got through to me. I started sharing this with Sue. I said, dear Lord, the blueprint for 2020 is message one. He has us in message one. And many of us, see, have got to the point where we can hear God. We have people in the room with various talents I don't have. I have other things, you know. And all of us have got to where we can hear God to a certain degree. We have an anointing from God to a certain degree. And God uses us to a certain degree, and we thank God for that. But none of us yet are walking in the hundredfold. Somebody asked me this week, what is your definition of revival? And I said, well, let's just take one person. Let's say B makes it. She make, you know, Dave says many people make it 30-fold. Many make it 60-fold, really. He said that last 40-fold is a bear. He said that's the love walk, and that's where purging is, and that's where everything in you that can, where all the handles have to come off. And, but let's say B makes it, really makes it to the 100-fold walk. She's literally walking as he walked with the same anointing that he had. What she says come to pass when she lays hands on the sick, they recover, and I mean every time. And when she casts out devils, they go and they stay gone. What's B's life going to be like? Every morning when she wakes up, there's going to be 100 people or more around her front door. See, he's been having me go through the book of Mark here. I was surprised how often Jesus was just seeking for a little solitude. Just him and his disciples. He wasn't out trying for fame and fortune. He was just, please, can I just have an hour to go pray with my Father? Can our disciples, can we have a lunch break? It says they didn't have time to eat. Well, see, that would be B's life. Because if word got out, if you just have one, just B. First day, there's going to be 100. And after those 100 are healed, next day, 500. What's going to happen? See? Now, what if you had two B's? What if you had two people that made it to that? Now, what if you had 10? Then what if you had 10,000? And what if you had 1 million worldwide? Just 1 million. Now you've got Joel's army. See, now you've got Joel's army. That's exactly the revival. And it's going to be here. It's going to be Australia. It's going to be Germany. It's going to be, I don't want to leave any nations out that have people that are co-laboring with us that are on this path. He wants us walking in the 100-fold. He's plainly said he wants all of the gifts of the Spirit flowing through all of us. Okay? Well, that can happen if you're mature. That can happen if the handles are gone and you're truly walking in the love walk. So I saw it finally. I was sharing some of this with Sue, and she says, Gary, now she just knows me, you know, she says, most people, especially the younger group, is not going to go back to a message that's 20 years old and listen to it once, because it's not 20 minutes long, it's an hour long, you know. You know, tension span today and is not great, you know. They're not going to go back and listen to it once, much less four times, till they start getting this. This has to be taught fresh. So that's what we're doing. We're teaching it fresh. Now, I'm going to stay really close with these notes. I'm updating it just a little, because when Dave taught this, he was just teaching us the fundamentals of learning to discern God's voice. But I'm teaching it in the context of revival, in the context of the blueprint for 2020, in the context of where do we go from here, and what is he doing, and why has he asked for this year of purging? This is a year of purging. So I'm going to call this one Hearing the Voice of God, Hearing the Voice of God. And it's based on Dave Roberson's, actually this one is based on the first message out of Distinguishing God's Voice. Okay. So now open your Bibles to Luke 14. This is where he started with it. And he had actually been teaching a series, and this is two messages out of that series, about the exaltation that comes from God alone. See, man can promote himself, man can grow a ministry. You know, you can have just basic, a lot of basic organizational skills, and you can have a fair ministry, you know, good-sized people coming. And just by the talents and the gifts that you have without the anointing of God, to be honest with you. But see, there's an exaltation that comes from God. If you get that exaltation, nobody's going to hold you back. See, nobody can stop you, you know. So Jesus was teaching on that in Luke 14. We're going to pick it up in verse 26, and I'm going to read quite a bit. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower? Now let me stop just for a moment. For the teaching purposes today. Now this tower, I'm going to mention it later, can represent your healing. This tower can represent your ministry. This tower could represent you, all of your family members being saved. But for the purpose of today's teaching, this tower is revival. Okay, that's what we're talking about. We're building a tower. We're in this with a purpose in mind, because he gave us the vision. So keep that in mind. Which of you intending to go into revival, intending to build a tower, okay, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest, happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold him begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king? Sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000, now notice, to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now in that whole passage in verse 31, you got one king going to war against another king. And he says, consulteth, whether he be able. Consulteth. I looked up that word consulteth in Strong's. It's G-1-0-1-2. You pronounce it, according to them, bull-you-o. Okay. Like that helps us a lot right there. And now I can whip the devil because I know how to say bull-you-o, you know. Anyway, it means to take counsel, to be advised, to determine, to be minded, to purpose. It's just what you'd think. You need counsel, right? War is coming. If we're going to revival, the enemy takes that as a declaration of war. So there's a king coming against us, and it's not an option. You don't have this option. The only option you have is to desire conditions of peace. That means quit. But war is coming. You don't really have a choice on that. If we're going to go to revival, Dave says we're not going to have God's best till we get past Satan's worst. And I believe that. So now the question is, are you going to make war using your own counsel? Or is there counsel available to you from a higher source? See, that tower represents your calling in the kingdom of God. It represents your family being saved, like I said. But for today's teaching purposes, let's call that tower revival and our part, your part in it, individually. See, the only way, what Jesus is teaching here in this passage, that tower, you want to finish that tower, are you? There's only one way. You'll have the counsel and the building material to finish that tower only through a complete and absolute surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Choosing him and his word above everything else, including anything that you love. Because anything that you love more than Jesus, I'm talking your family, your house, your job, your reputation, your own life also. Anything that you love more than Jesus, right there is the handle that the enemy is going to use to destroy you, stop you. The requirements that Jesus declares in that passage, hate not his father and mother, bear his cross, forsake all that he has. Boy, that sounded just unreasonable to me in my younger days. I thought, man, that's just harsh. That's just unreasonable, you know. And then one day it dawned on me, and I thank God that he was just relentless. Thank God for Pastor Dave, and endurance is the key. You just keep praying, you keep meditating until finally he brought me through the First John series, and finally he brought me through the God of War series. And just, he finally brought me to it, because I couldn't even teach the Sermon on the Mount until I understood what he's talking about there. And it dawned on my lightning quick mind one day. Every soldier that goes to war has to do exactly all three of those things. So I think about my own father, O.R. Carpenter, during World War II. He had to forsake his wife, his mother, his father, his own land, his business, all that he owned to go to war against the enemy. What about his cross? Like every other soldier, he had to go to boot camp. He had to harden himself for the rigors of war. And not only his body, but his emotions. You know, they push you till they break you. Why? So you won't break on the battlefield. They break you, they build you back up. They break you, they build you back up. You know, I saw a movie one time where they bring in these young guys, you know, and they got that long wavy hair. Like, believe it or not, I had that when I was 18. I did. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but I combed it back, swooping on both sides, had a little ducktail in the back, you know. So this guy in this movie was kind of like that, young, good-looking guy with long hair. And they said, now, how would you like that? Like a little trim off the edges and so forth. Yes, I would like this and that, just barely a little bit off right here. And they take that buzz cut clipper right down the middle, right down to the scalp. You know? Well, what are they doing there? They're breaking you. See, they're breaking you. They're breaking down that pride. They're going to make a soldier out of you. They're going to make a fighting machine out of you. And that is exactly what the Lord is doing with us. But we're a lightning, we're a fighting love machine. Fighting love machine, anointing machine. See? Okay. So my dad, he had to do that. He had to forsake mother, father, wife, house, lands, business. He had to go through boot camp and put his body through all kinds of discipline and also his emotions. And think about this. He had to risk his own life also. Now, of course, he wanted to survive. Every soldier wants to survive. But every soldier also knows, if need be, this enemy has to be stopped. And if my life's required, that's just the way it is. So Jesus is not asking anything of us that every soldier has to do this. But see, the mindset of Christ, to be honest with you, is my best life now. No soldier goes to war with the idea of this is my best life now. No. Come on. Now, that's two completely different mindsets. We are soldiers at war. And if we don't understand that, we're not going to ever make it through that last 44, that last 40%. See? So I wrote here, notice how opposite that mindset is from living your best life now. My earthly father, O.R. Carpenter, was not in Germany during World War II to live his best life then. Come on. He knew he was temporarily on enemy territory to be at war with an evil enemy that had to be defeated at all costs. And that's the attitude we have to have. We are on enemy territory here. Satan is the god of this world. Even the apostle Paul, little g now, little g, but it plainly says, Paul himself, Satan is the god of this world. He is, now our God is God, okay? And we have been sent, Jesus said, as the same way he sent me, I am sending you. We are on the same mission that Jesus, it's really Christ in us still doing the same thing just through our body now instead of the body he had then. Preaching really good, Gary. Just keep it up. Hallelujah. Okay. So he sent us as he was sent. Well, how was he sent? And this is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And that wording is so important. Not Jesus, the Son of God. Now, he is the Son of God. But why is it worded Jesus of Nazareth? Because he didn't do anything as God. He didn't do anything because he was deity. He laid all that down. He's showing us how a man, Jesus of Nazareth, was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we have been sent the same way he's been sent, and that's revival, and that's Joel's army, and we're not going to quit. Okay? Now, the wisdom and the counsel of God, in order to finish our tower and supply the materials. And that's really, okay. Listen to Dave's, I'm just doing the best I can. I really recommend you go back and listen to those until the Holy Ghost tells you to stop, which might be a while. But the wisdom and counsel of God is available to every believer, but without completely selling out to Jesus. And I'm talking about like a soldier does, okay, selling out. They simply cannot really hear the counsel of God. Because they're listening for my best life now. And those two things are not the same. Okay. Now, at many times during this lesson, especially from this point on, listen, the wording that God gave our pastor, Dave Roberson, is so pure. The wordings. I kept trying to redo this, and I go, it would lose power every time. Nope. So when it's Dave, I'm just going to quote Dave and tell you that it's Dave. Is that okay? Because I don't even want to change it. It's not scripture. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying the wording, I can't improve on it. Maybe you can, but I can't. So I'm just going to quote Dave a lot. So at this point, let me read this. Dave Roberson, quote, the reason many men and women fall short of fulfilling their ministries, fall short of fulfilling businesses, if God has called you to put your business between hell and people trying to get there, the reason they don't have counsel and they don't have wisdom available is because they did not have what it took to unconditionally choose Jesus. And they shut the doors to the kind of wisdom that he has available and never learn to differentiate between the operation of the spirit and the soul, the emotional realm. And consequently, they're led off continually by the flesh and fail. Now, he's not even talking about sin here. He's talking about brass instead of gold, to be honest with you. Led off into things that look right, smell right. I'm sure that's God. A year later, that wasn't God. Okay. All right. And then the number one way, now he starts talking about this, the leadership, the voice of God. The number one way that God leads us is by the inner witness. That's the most common, okay? Quote, Dave Roberson, quote, "Most of you can't differentiate between the soul realm and the emotions of it when he has actually imparted the go-ahead, the green light, in your spirit, on business deals, on living, on life, or anything else. Or in those times when he will instill that check in you that says, don't do it." You know, we've all had that red light, you know, don't do it. You've met somebody, now I'm still quoting Dave, you met somebody and God's cautioned you, and you say, well, yeah, but look at them. They're perfect. They're great Christians, blah, blah, blah. You entered into a deal with them and they took you to the cleaners. And later on, you remember back and you say, oh, that's what that was. Something went off on the inside of me that said, don't do it. But see, you overrode it and you did it and then you paid the consequences. Now, I'm still quoting Dave. But at the time, you're saying, is it or isn't it? See, green light or red light? What is it, Lord? I'm still quoting Dave. The circumstances overwhelmed the inner witness in you because you did not know how to discern it and whether it was for sure God or not, because you didn't know whether you were operating out of the emotions or that rock, steadfast, solid place that cannot steer you wrong, the spirit man and the inner witness. Can we all relate to that? I got a hand already. I can relate. Dave used to talk about the barbershop. You remember the barbershop? God told me to go to the barbershop at 2:00 in the afternoon and I'd witness to a man sitting in the chair and he'd be saved. And I went to the barbershop at 2:00, but it was Monday and they were closed. Why, Pastor Dave, would God send me to the barbershop at 2:00 when he knew they'd be closed? And Dave's answer, he didn't send you. He didn't send you. All right. Dave says, praying in tongues on a regular basis is very helpful. Does this sound familiar this year, people? Praying in tongues on a regular basis is very helpful in learning to differentiate between your soul and your spirit. Again, I'm going to quote Pastor Dave for quite a while here. So you deliberately, by an act of your will, you're putting yourself into the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to actually flow through you for maybe several hours out of the part of you that all of these things we're talking about take place, your spirit. When you let him flow through you and out of that inner man for several hours at a time, it won't be very long that you'll become familiar with where he creates those tongues within your consciousness. The same place he talks to you. It's the same place he imparts the inner witness. It's the same place he sends revelation knowledge across and explodes it. Still quoting Dave. The more you operate out of the consciousness of the inner man where the Holy Ghost lives, by letting him create that supernatural language of tongues and speaking it out of your mouth, then the more familiar you're going to become with the part of you where the leadership of the Holy Spirit takes place. And you say, well, Brother Roberson, yes, I just can't really tell where what is the soul and what isn't. I just really can't tell. God speaks to me and I go and do it. And then after I do it, I find out it wasn't him at all. And it just destroys my confidence. And he was kind of doing like this. It just destroys my confidence. And I don't know what's him and I don't know what's not. Anyway, Pastor Dave. So then he says, how many of you have ever sworn up and down, God spoke to me? And then you go and do it. And it wasn't him. Well, raise your hand. And then Dave goes, yes. And then Dave goes, me too. Okay. God spoke to me. And then you go and do it, and you find out it wasn't him. It kind of shakes a person's confidence a little, and you go, whoa, if that wasn't God, then I don't know what is. And you get to the place, well, I can't tell whether this is my emotions or if God's actually dealing with me in my inner man. I just can't tell anymore. Still quoting Dave. Why do you think the devil fights tongues so hard? I love our pastor right for the jugular. In love, right for the jugular. Number one, he wants to keep you in that fleshly soul realm so that you can be the one that he leads around messing churches up, projecting God to the unbeliever as something nobody wants to have. He wants you to keep splitting churches. He doesn't want you to come to a place where you can operate out of your spirit. Now, this is Gary for one paragraph. You will become so familiar with the operation of God through your spirit that when he communicates with you by the inner witness, by revelation, by voice, or by vision and dreams, you will know that you know it is him. See, and that's where we've got to be. Quoting Dave again. The first foundation, see, now this is message one. The first foundation of this leadership, it is based on the word. This is what Jesus was talking about. If any man comes to me and does not violently, vehemently, emphatically choose me and my word, then he will not have the counsel to know what to do. Still quoting Dave. First of all leadership of the Spirit is based on the foundational rock of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not lead you contrary to the Word. The Spirit and the Word agree. So if you're going to get acquainted with this, then let's find out where he leads a person and how he leads them first through the inner witness. Now again, this is message one. I focused on message two, but message one is where he has us this whole year. I'm telling you. So go on to Romans 8. Y'all go ahead and go to Romans 8. Your Bible should probably just fall open there. And when we start there, it'll be in the 13th verse. So let's begin by differentiating between spirit and soul here. Now, I condensed some of what Dave said, some of it I could, because that message is 33 pages long. And this one is 10. How many are glad I condensed it a little? Okay. But some of it I could condense and some of it I couldn't. It's just too perfect. Listen, the soul of man, this is Gary, the soul of man is an amazing creation of God. It is not recreated at the new birth the same way our spirit is. The spirit is reborn, but the soul must be renewed. Dogs and cats have souls. But they are not housed in eternal spirits like human beings are. The soul of man houses the will, the intellect, and the emotions. The amazing thing about the soul is that it is able to work with, cooperate with, either the flesh or the spirit. Have you ever noticed that? If you doubt that, say, no, my soul only works with my spirit. Really? When's the last time you declared a 30-day fast? That came out of your spirit. Trust me, your flesh did not make that decision, you know. And I thought Alan was bragging the first time I heard him say, I am an expert at 30-day fast. I thought that's what he said. That's not what he said. I listened closer. Here he told me. He said, no, I'm an expert at 31-day fast. I was going to fast 30 days, and I usually didn't even make it all of the first day. And so 31-day fast, see. Well, see, that's your soul cooperating with your flesh. Your spirit didn't decide to stop that fast. Your soul decided to stop it, see. Same thing with prayer. I'm going to pray Zama Zama hours today. I was going to get up early. I was going to go to the church for that Saturday morning prayer. That sounded like a good thing to do. But when the alarm clock went off, my soul decided I needed sleep. So the soul can cooperate. See, that's an amazing thing that God gave us. The soul of man, the emotions, the will, intellect. But it's able to function. Dave calls it the high end or the low end. It can function with the spirit, and it can also function with the flesh. Now, not just sin, but the emotions. Okay? Now, so it's still summarizing. The soul can work at the high level of cooperating with the reborn spirit man as it obeys the Holy Spirit. Or it can work at the low end of the spectrum by cooperating with the desires of the flesh. Now, this is really important here. Most of us can distinguish pretty easily between soul and spirit on down days. If you'll allow me a blue Monday. How did Dave say it? Your emotions are so low. Your lower lip is interfering with the gas pedal as you're trying. Most of us on those days go, that's my soul. I know that's not my... See, we can identify it there. Okay, I know that's my soul. That's not my spirit. But what's less recognizable to us is when we're working at the higher end of it. Like, this is a good day. Everything's going my way. I got a raise on my job. My wife is really pretty today. She made me my favorite breakfast. Even the dog was nice to me. And you think, this is God. See, we have a little more trouble at the high end of that. And then you make that business deal a lot of times on days like that. And it just seems like it's so God. But then you find out it wasn't God. Quoting Dave Roberson. Now, quote, it is so easy to differentiate between the lows, but it's hard to differentiate between the highs. This is where you've got to develop the inner man and learn where God's voice is and his inner witness come from. To do that, the foundation of it begins with the Word of God. So let's look where he's leading you. You say, God, I'm still quoting Dave, God led me to do this great work over in Okmulgee. And he led me to do this great work over in Oklahoma City. And then you get there, and you cause nothing but a big mess, and you come back beat up. Don't tell me God led you over there. Now, this is in bold. I put this in bold. You weren't ready to be led over there. The only place he's leading you at this point, the only place he's leading you at this point is out of a walk based on the flesh and into a walk of the Spirit. Because if you're still walking around in so much flesh that the devil can corral you and beat you up and cause you to fail, I guarantee you, God did not lead you over there. He is majoring on another kind of... This is so worded, so perfect. He, the Holy Spirit, he's majoring on another kind of leadership in your life out of a walk where you're dominated by the emotions and human reasonings, and into an operation of peace where you know where his voice is coming from. Now, did you find Romans 8? And what he's talking about, this is the leadership. This is the school you're in. This is where you are, really. You're not yet over into message number 2 about distinguishing his voice. This is the school. This is where his leadership is. And really, if you'll allow me, this is what I saw so clear. This is the blueprint for 2020. This is exactly where he has all of us in this room, purging handles, growing us up into mature sons, where we're no longer walking after the flesh. I don't mean sin. I just mean emotions and normal human reasoning. Okay, so finally, Romans 8:13 and 14. For if you live after the flesh, and Dave says, and again, that's the carnal, emotional realm, the influence of flesh and soul. If you're living that way, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, that you, everyone here knows that's a little S. He's talking about the new nature there. He's talking really about Christ in you. If you through the Spirit do mortify, and Dave says, disannul, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that word sons, the Greek word there, is a mature son of God who's had his bar mitzvah. It has been announced everywhere. Our son has matured to the point he is ready now to participate in the family business. Well, in context, you're ready for revival. Ready. Now I can send you. I couldn't before, but now I can. So what kind of school is this? See, we're no longer babes in Christ. That's how Paul described the Corinthian church. And they were beloved of God. God loved them. And they were being used in the gifts. They came behind in no gift. Most of the information we have about the gifts of the Spirit is in that letter to the babes in Christ. Okay? So let me read it the way I have it. I'm starting to preach instead of read. I'm teaching today, not preaching. We're not babes in Christ, the way Paul described the Corinthian church, but we have become sons. See, this leadership where God has us right now is becoming mature sons who have matured to the point we're no longer dominated by the desires, the emotions, and the reasonings even of the flesh. But we have learned to walk by the Spirit of life within us. We have learned to walk after the Spirit instead of after the flesh. We've had our bar mitzvah. Now we're mature enough to participate in the family business, which I'm calling revival today. I will speak for myself. Now, this is Gary talking. I will speak for myself, and you can decide for yourself if you recognize any similar patterns. Before the blueprint for 2020 prophecies were given, now I'm talking about Gary, probably not you. Maybe you a little bit. I thought that before the blueprint, I thought, pretty ready for a revival myself. Pastor Dave Roberson is my pastor. I've been doing this message. Hopefully I wasn't quite that prideful. Anyway, but I thought, I'm ready. Speak on, Lord, thy servant heareth. Mm-hmm. I thought I was ready for revival, and I thought I'm just waiting for more of that third level of leadership, you know, being led, me and the Holy Ghost. I thought I was ready to hear that leadership of the Holy Spirit sending me into war against the enemy. But see, the real thing, now that the blueprint has come, so it's not just me. You do know he didn't just give that blueprint to me. Y'all are in this too. Because the real thing that the Holy Spirit needs, see, he's leading us to complete the war with my own flesh first. He's not sending us to war against that enemy until we first conquered this enemy. He's got us in a school right now to conquer the remaining strongholds, we could say handles, of wrong thinking and emotional domination still residing in our flesh. As it says in the blueprint, he's called us in this season to complete the purging process. You remember the original vision he gave me, the walking through that wall of fire? And he said, there's no way forward from this point. You come as far as you can. There is no way forward except going through that wall of fire. And that's the purging that we're in. Our God is a consuming fire. So, Gary says, God, I'm being nice to you. Gary says, God, G-A-W-D, I want to open the eyes of the blind. Isn't that noble? God says, good. I want you to do that more than you want to do that. So, fast and pray and go into my word and worship like you never have before. Now, that's the blueprint. No, you didn't hear me, God. I want to open the eyes of the blind, God. Good. I want you to do that more than you want to do that. So, fast and pray and go into my word and worship like you never have before. But God, I want to cast out devils and heal the sick. I've got your word right here. Good. I want you to do that more than you want to do it. So fast and pray and go into my word and worship like you never had before. I like message two better than I like message one. See, again, I feel he wants me to say this. We're on page six. We're on page six, Alan. I thank God for anybody that's preaching Christ and Him crucified. I thank God for everybody that's doing whatever they're doing, for getting anybody saved. I thank God for people that are going out into the streets or praying for the sick. And I thank God for what they are accomplishing. And thank God some people do get healed and they get, you know, knees healed and all kinds of good things. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. But that is not what He has called us to do. He's called us to a hundredfold walk, and not just one person doing it, but a Joel's army doing it, and I mean worldwide. And He's told us we've got to be purged because this revival is not going to come and go. This revival will come and harvest until He returns. Now that's going to take a level. Nobody in history since the book of Acts has done that. Why? The devil beat all of them out. But He has given us precise instructions what to do. He's counting on us to do it. Quoting Dave Roberson. See, God says in Romans, he's talking about, again, Romans 8, 13 and 14. God says He's leading you into a walk of sonship, which dictates maturity. It's a grow-up place in God. That even though you're wearing a physical flesh body, and you have the emotional realm of the soul that has highs and lows, and it wants to lust and it wants to sin and do everything else the flesh is famous for. But God says, as many as will accept the leadership of the Spirit. And first and foremost, He leads you into a walk of sonship and maturity. That's Romans 8, 13 and 14. A place in God where the dictates of the flesh do not dominate, nor lead you, nor corral you, nor defeat you. But a walk of maturity and sonship where the inner man is ruling over the flesh. I just want to go pray now. See, I just want to go pray and maybe fast a little bit. Skip lunch, you know. No, I'll skip dessert after lunch. See, that's the flesh already. Now, Gary speaking here. Now see, He may already be using you in the gifts. And I thank God for anybody that's being used in the gifts. Paul said, covet earnestly. Don't just covet earnestly the best gifts. But let me show you a more excellent way. Well, this more excellent way is the 40-fold walk. It's the love walk. And Dave says, few ever make it there. They don't survive the devil's beatings. Look around. Okay. Now He may be using you in the gifts, and that is not the issue. Thank God if He's using you in the gifts. Thank God. Okay. But remember, He was using the Corinthian believers in the gifts, and He called them babies in Christ. Couldn't even give them meat. Most Christians get diverted off the path of maturity once they ever start operating in the gifts at all. They do. And they just stay right there. And they, I don't want to say mark it, but they park it. Ah, I have arrived, you know. Okay. God used me. Now people get healed when I pray, when I lay my hands on them. We don't dispute that. Thank God for that. I cast out devils and I prophesy. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. But you might still be a babe in Christ, just like the Corinthian church. Quoting Dave Roberson. He says, we're not questioning that God's using you in the gifts. But if you say, God led me to do this work, and then when you do it, the devil corrals you, defeats you, and brings reproach on the kingdom because you weren't ready to do the work. I can guarantee you the only leadership in your life that He's employing is a walk where the flesh is a walk out of where the flesh dominates and into a walk of maturity where it does not. Let me quote those two verses again. We're doing okay. Romans 8, 13 and 14. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And see, that's the people he's talking about in the next verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's a little S. You've learned to follow the highway of holiness on the inside of you. You've learned to listen to the conscience, which are the bumper rails on either side. You've learned to mortify the deeds of the body. It does not control you. Not just sin, but emotional things, human reasonings that go against the Word of God, and so forth. They are the sons of God. They're the mature ones, ready now for leadership by the Holy Spirit into warfare. Okay. What do you mean by maturity? They have learned to yield to the new nature. See, that's the first level of leadership. Learning to live by the new nature. I'm going to say it a different way. That new nature is Christ in you. When you hear from that new nature, they've learned to walk now by the Spirit, that new man, which is Christ in you. See, you're tempted to do something. Well, if Christ himself was standing next to you in the flesh, and you turn to him and went, should I do that? And he goes, no. Most of us wouldn't do it if he's standing there and you can see him and like that. But see, it's no less him in you. And you say, I want to go see that movie. No. No, don't go see that one. Nowadays, don't go see any of them. No, I'm teasing. Hardly any of them anymore. Can't even watch commercials anymore on TV. Anyway. But see, now if he was standing right there, I'd obey what he said. Well, it's no less him in you. See? And that's the maturity when you grow up. You do know that's how he walked. He walked by the light of life within him. That's how he could be tempted in all points but never sin. How? Yielded to the life in him. Same thing. Okay. Now let's go on this time to verses 15 and 16. Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Now that should be a little S. Whereby we cry, not the Holy Spirit, we cry. See, it's your spirit, the real you, the child of God, you. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the Spirit, now this is the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit, capital S should be, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the inner witness of our reborn human spirit crying out all the time, I'm a child of God. God is my Father. And the Holy Spirit, he constantly bears witness with that truth. We are not children of the flesh. We are the children of God. And the flesh no longer has the power to dominate us. And that includes the emotional realm if we learn to be trained to go through the boot camp of the Holy Ghost as we learn to yield to the new nature. That's back to Romans 8, 13 and 14. Okay, quoting Dave Roberson. Now from here on, I'm quoting to the end of the lesson. This is all Dave. When you can't improve on it, you just quote Dave. Okay? I couldn't improve on this. And I'm going to try and do some of the same voice inflections that he used, you little flesh creatures, you little nasalated flesh creature. All right, quoting Dave from here on. See, Abba, Father, is an expression that means I'm yielding to you because you are the Father of my spirit. What Paul is saying is this. It doesn't matter how bad the bondage and the fear and the corruption and the pressures of the flesh and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. It doesn't matter how ungodly the pressure can get. Until you're a bundle of nerves ready to collapse. Anybody ever been there? I have. Or how hard that a wealthy fortune is trying to suck you off into compromise and sin. No matter how hard the bondage and the pressure is, that did not come from God. This is the part that comes from God. The part that's crying within you, Abba, Father. And the way he cries Abba is underneath the corruption. The Holy Spirit, he bears witness saying, I don't care how bad it is. You are of the Father of, I'm sorry. I don't care. This is your spirit crying out really and him bearing witness with it. I don't care how bad it is. You are the Father of my spirit, and I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. See, that's part of that Abba Father, quoting Dave. So in this differentiating between the emotional highs and lows of the soul and that rock steadfast voice of the inner witness, first of all, as the Holy Spirit leads you out of bondage, corruption, and flesh into a walk of maturity, the inner witness is designed to lead you out of the bondage and corruption of the flesh into liberty and maturity. That's the training that comes by the new man, the new nature. Okay? But that's, and not where the soul leads you through emotions, but the spirit. Now here's the differentiating. Now, very, very close now. I can help you identify at this point what is the operation of your spirit. How many of you ever came to a time in your Christian walk that the pressure became intolerable? It became so heavy that bondage and fear and depression and the trial was so great you felt forsaken by God and everybody else. You even felt like you wanted to give up, and some of you tried. How many ever came to that place? And you could tell a whole bunch of, yeah, me too. I raised my hand, yeah. But even though you tried back then to give up, do you notice you're here? Why do you think you're here? Because the soul realm, which fluctuates from the emotional highs of ecstatic joy and happiness to the emotional lows of depression, can only operate so low. And then it runs into the foundation, the rock of the reborn spirit and the operation of the spirit, the part of you that will not turn loose. That is stronger than the operation of bondage and fear. And that was your spirit. And that's where the Holy Ghost dwells. Even though it got so heavy, you tried to give up. Something on the inside kept crying out, Abba, Father, you're the Father of my spirit. It kept crying out continually and protesting. You couldn't lay on the bed in your sunken, I want to give up state. That something inside would not let you turn loose. You tried to turn loose. I want to quit. Now, I'm doing my best to use Dave's inflections. I want to quit. Leave me alone. And it kept saying, Abba, you're the Father of my spirit. The part of you that refused to completely turn loose is the spirit man until he brought you back. That part of you that wouldn't turn loose, that was the spirit, my friend. You are in contact with your spirit. He would not turn loose. But the key is to learn how not to operate in the emotions, the highs and the lows. The key is to learn to operate out of the part of you that would not give up. At times, it got beat down so bad, it was the bare flicker of a little flame. Has anyone ever been there? I have been there. You just collapsed, and in your intellect, you had already laid down and died. But that tiny little flicker in the spirit, it kept saying, I'm not having any part of this. No way. I'm not giving up. Abba, Abba, help, Father. And the spirit in there bearing witness said, you're okay, child. I'm your father. But the other part of me doesn't feel like it, but I'm your father. But you don't know how bad it is. Yes, but I'm your father. I want to give up. You can't because I'm your father. Leave me alone. I can't because I'm your father. But I'm going to the insane asylum. I'll go with you because I'm your father. Then I'll bring you back. Is that Dave or what? The key is to walk in there on purpose. Still quoting Dave. The key is to walk in there on purpose and to ignite that little flicker. Let me tell you a primary key to igniting it. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Because it doesn't matter how bad your emotions get, how bad you want to give up. When you crawl into the closet and start praying in tongues, you bypass the soul altogether and you operate out of that tiny little boxed in witness in there. And the more he flows, the more it will expand until he drives your emotions back where they're supposed to be, serving your spirit. Glory to God. Many times along the way you hit impasses. Those are strongholds and fortresses. But you say, I'm not giving up. And if you keep praying in tongues, have you ever noticed? You'll hit them, but then you'll eliminate them. And you'll keep going. So we're going on, So we're going to go on talking about this inner witness and feeding him and making him strong and learning to operate out of him. I don't care if you're the most talented person in the world. If your soul can suck you off into an operation of flesh, the devil can get in there and just whip you. Now, I've got time, so I'm going to go ahead and I didn't think I would, but he uses Elvis Presley here as an example. I mean, you know, and we love Elvis. I hope Elvis is in heaven. I hope he is. But Elvis, he uses the example. He says if Elvis would have completely sold out to Jesus and used that talent for God, he could have filled stadium after stadium. Why? Because he's Elvis Presley. The gift, that talent that he had, you know, if he'd have totally, like it says here, surrendered that to God, completely used it for God, well, he could have been one of the greatest. Even if he didn't preach it, he would draw them, and you could have somebody else stand up and preach the gospel, you know. But see, there it is. There it is. Are you going to surrender that to God or not? Okay, I'm going to read that paragraph again. This all quoting Dave. So we're going to go on talking about this inner witness and feeding him, the spirit man, making him strong and learning to operate out of him. I don't care if you're the most talented person in the world. If your soul can suck you off into an operation of flesh. See, I hear Pastor Bronk's voice. I hear the Holy Spirit in Pastor Bronk's voice. But I've called you to the streets. How many know? See, it's in that problem. I've called you to the streets. And I've called you to feed the hungry. And I've called you to clothe the naked. And you will do all of those things. But you'll do them by my leading. Not the way that man normally does it, see. It's not that God doesn't want to do those things, but he's called us to a revival. But so he says, if your soul can suck you off into an operation of flesh, the devil can get you out there and just whip you. Yeah, but they really used me. Yeah, but five years from now, you'll still be the emotional, unstable mess that you are today. When you entered that program. So come on. Let's accept God's leadership first. And as we grow and get strong, then we can go conquer the world. And there isn't a thing this side of hell the devil can do to stop it. We say, I'm taking this city. And the devil says, no, you're not. And you say, hey, buddy, I can tell you don't have access to my spirit because you wouldn't say that. If you knew what's really going on in here. Some of you in the emotional lusts of money get sucked off into deals that just cut your heads off. But if you went and mortified that stuff, then God could lead you into his business deals. People were going into revival. Now I really recommend Dave's 2-tape series. Distinguishing God's voice. Focus on tape 1. But more than that, really, I mean, that's good. It's really good. But you're going to hear pretty much what I delivered today. Because really what he's called us to do is the blueprint. And see, even when I preach this, at this group, I'm looking around, I'm mostly preaching to the choir. You're mostly the group that I see here at prayer. But we are going into revival. You're going to be one of those worldwide. Now I'm looking here. You're going to be one of those worldwide. You're going to make it past 60-fold. You're going to walk into that 100-fold. You're going to go into the boot camp training of the new nature of Christ in you. You're going to mortify the deeds of the body. You'll become as the master. You know, Jesus said it's enough that you just be as your master. Well, that's what a disciple is. The day will come. You'll be one of those. You'll just be looking for a little, can I just get an hour to rest? Because there's more to be healed, delivered, set free from devils, and born again into the kingdom of God. Let us not stop until we build this tower. It's called revival.